Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries, and all things spooky.
We are two scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, a few howls, and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a belly, it's about to get heavy. Oh my God.
We're back. Don't Talk to Strangers.
Oh my God, it's been, what, has it been 2 whole years?
2 whole years. Like, and we're back.
And we're back. So
on your screens.
Yeah, we're actually on your screens this time. So we started this podcast 2 years ago. And we absolutely loved it. We did like, what, 16 episodes,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, we did quite well, to be fair, for like amateurs. And that's part of the reason why we stopped was because the work involved was just...
We didn't really have a clue. I'm not going to lie. I left everything to Kate, like the editing and stuff.
I was watching YouTube tutorials to edit and it was just a nightmare. But we've now got someone to help us.
Yeah, we've got a proper setup. We've got our little like gaff in the back.
I know. And we're going to keep developing this scene.
So, yeah, this is just the start off point.
Yeah.
Jack Skeleton, of course.
Yes. It's Halloween. Yeah.
And each episode, we're going to, you know, bring you our favourite true crime stories while drinking red wine, which is what we do best.
Well, actually, yeah, I was going to say we do that anyway. And then that's how the podcast came to be about, because we became friends, which we'll go into why in a minute.
Oh my God.
And then every week, Hannah would go, do you want to come round for a red? So I'd be like, yeah.
Of course.
And then we'd be sat in her kitchen and then there'd be a new documentary or a new film or something out there, and we go, oh my God, have you seen that new documentary? So we ended up every week drinking a bottle of red wine and talking about serial killers and true crime
and red wine always.
Yeah, and then we both fell in love with podcasts, and then we were like, let's make one. So that's how it came about. And obviously, like I say, we did okay with it, but we just got lazy with it. It was too much work, and we are back.
I've moved house, you've moved house. Yeah. Like, we've been up the wall, and for ages we've been meaning to do it, haven't we?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
Finally, we've whipped our ass into gear, and here we are.
I know.
And I'm dead excited.
I know, I am, to be fair. I mean, I'm hating that we're on a screen, to be honest.
I know.
I hate.
We feel like we're going to love a show, because like, it's getting the lighting and all of that, right? And we're sitting on beanbags.
I know, I'm so uncomfortable, but it's fine. I'll get used to it. I'll get used to being on the screen, so.
So, babe, right, we need to tell everyone again, if they're, like, new listeners or whatever, how we became friends, because it's such a funny story. Well, I think it is.
Yeah.
Always tell everyone this. Like, so basically, you were like my manager, weren't you, really?
Yeah. For this was like 6-7 years ago.
For like social media and stuff.
Yeah,
after Love Island the first time, she was like getting me jobs in. Mm-hmm. And anyway, one day, you had to come round to like take pictures for me.
Initially, it started where I got a dog food company asking if any of my talent had dogs. And I was like asking everyone, I'm handing your dog. Yeah, bam, bam. All right, Pete. Bam, bam, bam.
All right, Pete, my bam.
We didn't anticipate that was going to get brought
up.
But, so she was like, yeah, I've got Bam Bam. And then she sent a picture of Bam Bam. I then had a dog at the time, which I still have, and sent a picture of my dog, Jeffrey. And she's like, oh my God.
Oh no, sorry, can I buzz in now? So when Kate was like, oh, she's got to come and take pictures in mine for the content, she was like, be arsed. This girl's going to be dead, like a scouse prinny, can't be arsed with her weight. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I'm not, like, obviously, clearly, like, I'm not from the telly, I'm not from that world. I was in it, but for work. And I was thinking, what's this going to be like going around to Hannah's? Because she lived around the corner from me, which we discovered.
Literally, yeah.
And then we went round and we just,
And, like, here we are. But the boss thing, what we clicked over was, like, she's like, oh, I've got a sausage dog called Jeff. And then she went, actually, he's called JD. I've named him after Jeffrey Dahmer. I was like, whoa, that was where our friendship began.
Because I said it to you thinking you'd be like, who's that? No. I just said it and was like, I was actually, he's called Jeffrey Dahmer, Mitchell the first. but we call him JD for short. And she was like, no, Kate, I love Jeffrey Dahmer. And obviously this is 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Before the hype of like Netflix.
Oh my God, yeah. Like,
so we knew about him years ago. And then I was like, you like true crime? And she was like, yeah, babe. And then that's when she was like, you need to come for a ride.
I was like, you are my sister. Like, your dog's called Jeffrey Dahmer. Let's talk. So that was it. Then every week, on the red, talking about serial killers. But I've been into this, honestly. So my auntie got me into like horror and all things like spooky, all things dark, whatever, since I was like seven. Yeah. I've been watching horrors, and my whole life I've been a massive, massive horror geek. I'm a film geek. I collect weird stuff, don't I? We'll have to tell you about that another time. I collect weird film stuff, and I've been into serial killers like my whole life. Like, I'm totally fascinated.
Same, and I kind of, I'm more true crime. I'm scared of horrors, basically. No, I like some horrors, but Hannah's more, way more into horrors than I am. And
yeah, I'm dying.
You like all possession and
oh, I love it.
Devil, which terrifies
love
me.
It all.
But I've always had like an interest in, mine started with forensics, so like watching CSI when I was a kid. I used to beg my mum to stay up to watch it. And
don't
then,
forget the work experience.
Oh shit, yeah. So I no, so
I'm having a sip already.
So for work experience, obviously when you're in what year, I don't even know what year it is, year 11 or whatever, they're like, where do you want to go? And people are like, hairdresser, nurseries, whatever. And I actually asked for the army, weirdly, but we couldn't do it yet. It was only me and one other girl, and there wasn't enough for us to go. Yeah. So I was like, where can I go? Ended up in the coroner's court, sitting in an inquest for whatever, and then did some time at the Liverpool morgue.
How sick!
Yeah, so watching post-mortem, I lied about my age and everything.
So she's got, like, the morbid kind of...
Yeah, so I like the forensic-y side, which Hannah does as well, but... Hannah goes hard on horrors.
Yeah, I'm not as clued up about like that side, but the horrors and anything like ghosties, anything supernatural,
hauntings,
anything like
possessions.
That, I'm obsessed, paranormal, all of it. So Kate gets a bit scared when I talk to her about like stuff like that. But what I want to do in this podcast is definitely, because I know so many spooky like stories, I want to bring that into the podcast at some point, and I want to tell you some, like, dark, spooky shit that you're not going to like.
Well, that's the thing. So I'll be telling Hannah each week a new case, and Hannah will be familiar with probably most of them. Some of them she won't be as much, some she'll know loads about, but I'm just going to do a deep dive and tell the story of all of these true crime cases, and Hannah's obviously going to discuss her opinions and reactions, but, yeah, Hannah's going to then pay me back with telling me ghost stories,
paranormal
possession stories.
Oh yeah,
which
and it's actually like Halloween.
Oh yeah, so it's Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, my favorite holiday of the year. So literally, what is my house like at the minute, Kate?
So like, you know the way you have Santa's grotto? It's like Santa's grotto, but Halloween version. She's got a tree. She's got a Christmas tree.
I've got a black Christmas tree. I have
that's
every year covered in Jack Skeleton. I've got it. 8 foot Michael Myers, which I ordered from America. How sick is he, Kate?
It is actually good, to be fair.
It's like in the street, man, it's the most Halloween. I'm the queen of Halloween.
And then also cardboard cutout, which actually is from our last launch.
It is?
Yeah. So when
it looks sick because when the delivery man comes, he shits himself.
Yeah, because it's just a scream cardboard cutout
like
in the porch. In the porch, and it's like, Jesus. But no, Hannah does it hard. Like, I have not got one decoration in my house.
No, not
but I do love it. Like, I love Halloween. I'm more into like just the winter in general, like autumn, winter.
Oh, me too. It's
love
it. You know, it's the red wine season, which is our favourite thing. So,
but to be honest,
sheets.
I think we have red wine all year round.
Well, we do.
We have more of it now.
Oh, it's an excuse in the winter, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I got this one, which is called The Wanderer. And the reason I picked it, I've never had it before, but I thought the skull was given like very poddy vibes.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a Malbec, which is my favourite. Got it from the Asda, and I'm going to read it. Not that we really take note of this, but I'll just read it anyway. So, the Malbec is rich and full-bodied with layers of velvety black fruit, hints of spice and smooth oak flavours. So
love.
Give it a go, girl. So it's from the Asda. It was £12.50. Nice and cheap.
Cheers.
Cheers. I mean,
grab a bevy.
It's about to get heavy, girl.
I mean, I already drank some because I was scared.
Yeah, she's nervous. She's been sweating.
I hate that. I'm dying. I keep looking though. Like, I'm looking more than you.
No, we need to look. I know. Like this.
Yeah.
I think that's actually nice.
It is.
But I love a Malbec. It's my favourite. So. And it little Jack nice. There just giving the Halloween back.
Yeah. So.
What have you got?
Have we discovered
me?
Everything? Have we discussed everything? Sorry.
I mean, yeah. Like, obviously, each week we will have a bit of a catch up, but we don't want to like bore you and chat shit too much because we want to focus on the case. But we will have so much to catch up with, won't we?
Yeah, of course.
The time. And
of course.
Do you think we should get into it?
I think we should get going.
I'm
so
dead excited.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 1, Don't Talk to Strangers. We are covering Peter Sutcliffe.
Yes!
The Yorkshire Ripper.
Yes, a UK dun, dun, dun. Big hitter for
the first episode, yeah, okay. For sure. So I'll get right into it.
Go on, babe.
So Peter Sutcliffe, infamously known as the Yorkshire Ripper, was one of the most notorious British serial killers of the 20th century. His reign of terror lasted from 1975 to 1980, during which he murdered 13 women and attempted to kill several more. Sutcliffe's crimes shocked the nation and exposed significant failings in police investigation, making his capture long and a controversial process. Mm-hmm. So, Peter Sutcliffe was born on June the 2nd, 1946, which makes him a Gemini.
Oh, a Gemini. Wow. So, just got a butt in already.
That's fine.
I'm a Pisces, diehard Pisces, but I'm a Gemini rising, so I've got so many.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got so many Gemini traits.
I'm a Virgo, and I think you checked this for me once. I'm a Leo rising,
really?
Maybe, but I might be making
your rising is quite important because your rising is like how you are to other people, like so in social settings and stuff. And how I am to other people is I'm a true Gemini.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah. You're Blake or Peter.
But I absolutely love a Gemini, but yeah, as we know, they've got split and
he's definitely
the fuckers, but love them.
Got a split. So he was born in Bingley, West Yorkshire.
Bingley?
Yeah. Oh. Bingley, West Yorkshire, to a working class family. He was the eldest of 6 children and grew up in a strict religious household. Mm. We all know how that goes.
Yeah.
His father, John, was a hard-drinking man known for being domineering, while his mother, Kathleen, was more reserved. Sutcliffe's early childhood was marked by instability and conflicting parental influences. His father was often disappointed in Peter for being introverted and more attached to his mother, which led Peter to feel isolated and disconnected from his father's masculine expectations. Sutcliffe was a loner in his school years, reportedly bullied and uninterested in sports or other typical teenage activities. He dropped out of school at 15 and worked a series of menial jobs, including grave digging, some of which psychologists later speculated may have contributed to his morbid fascination with death. I think my granddad was a grave digger, you know?
Really?
I need to check on that. That's just triggered me.
Yeah, you need to check on that.
I think before he went on the trains, he was a grave digger.
A grave digger?
But do not quote me on that.
That's if a any, mad job,
I know,
isn't it?
I need to check. I mean, don't quote me, but
I mean, it would make sense, I suppose, like, Well, not that it makes sense, but you could see where it might start.
If you've got that in you.
Was
already.
He an only child, did you say?
Yeah, if he's got that in him. Oh, there's lots of similarities here. But if you've got that in you already, that kind of broken.
The fascination might develop,
In his late teens and early 20s, Sutcliffe became increasingly obsessed with sex workers. He frequented red light districts where he developed a deep misogynistic view of women, particularly those he saw as morally fallen. So he's seeing, because he's seeing sex workers as the morally, they've fallen, like fallen from grace, they're not like a normal.
All right.
This is obviously what he thinks. This fixation would later become the cornerstone of his violent tendencies. Despite his growing darkness, he managed to maintain a facade of normalcy, working as a truck driver and marrying Sonia in 1974.
Son.
I keep talking, you're meant to do more talking, but just also, a fella I used to work with worked with him.
What?
On the trucks. Richard,
no,
who I worked with in
Baltimore.
But it's not a big... I said, like, can I sit you down and interview
you?
You
never told me
but
this.
But he just said, I worked with him, like, he was a truck driver, he's from Yorkshire, and he was like...
Did he say
no,
he was sound?
He was like, I just knew him. It weren't like they were best mates having pints, but...
But
yeah.
He thought he was sound, like, yeah. Amy.
He went and didn't think, not a lot of it.
I know.
Their marriage was strained from the start, partially because Sonia was diagnosed with schizophrenia and unable to have children, adding another layer of frustration to Sutcliffe's already volatile personality.
Yeah.
Peter Sutcliffe's killing spree spanned 5 years, during which he targeted women, mostly sex workers, in and around the West Yorkshire and Greater Manchester areas. He would typically attack his victims late at night, using a hammer to strike them on the head, and then brutally mutilating them with a knife or a sharpened screwdriver. His crimes were gruesome, sexually motivated, and showed the escalating pattern of violence and rage.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's get started. I've got
The long list. Because it wasn't that long of a period to kill.
It's like 5 years, was it?
Like,
yeah.
Some of them are like, you know, years and years it goes on. Some of them have like kind of like time off.
Hiatus.
So we got like...
A lot done. Yeah, unfortunately.
In 5 years.
Wilma McCann, a 28-year-old mother of four from Leeds, was Sutcliffe's first known victim. She worked as a part-time sex worker and was attacked as she walked home after a night out. Sutcliffe bludgeoned her with a hammer before stabbing her 15 times in the neck, chest and abdomen. Her body was found near her home, and although police found little evidence, her murder sent shockwaves through the local community. McCann's death marked the beginning of Sutcliffe's killing spree, but police were initially unaware of what they were dealing with, as you can imagine. Emily Jackson was 42, and she was also a part-time sex worker from Leeds. She was lured. Yes, you'd be like, I don't want to go lured. But that's what naturally... She was lured. Sorry. She was lured into Sutcliffe's car and driven to an isolated location where he struck her on the head with a hammer and stabbed her repeatedly with a sharpened screwdriver.
Oh, my God. Not a screwdriver.
I don't know why that scares me more than a knife.
Yeah, no. Me too. Well, it's pure blunt.
Yeah. After killing her, Sutcliffe desecrated her body by stomping on her chest.
Oh, my God.
Leaving a distinctive boot print on her clothing. Jackson's murder was especially brutal, and the injuries she sustained reflected Sutcliffe's increasing rage. Her body was found in a derelict area, fueling fears within the city. So straight away, the murder, second one, is even
escalated. Is he not really hiding the bodies very well?
He's a bit cocky.
But I feel like as well then, he probably thought he could get away with it.
Yeah, well, he'd done it once. So I think what always happens when you do it once, and you're thinking, nothing's happening yet.
Enough, and like, he'll be like a narcissist.
And in his head, these are fallen women.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't care.
Which is absolutely like disgusting. Awful,
Awful. Marcella Claxton was his next victim, who was a 20-year-old woman.
No way.
She survived this one by Sutcliffe. Yeah, and I read it too quickly. And she'd be walking home from a party in Leeds where he offered her a lift. After stopping in his car...
Was she a sex worker?
No. I think he assumed she was because After stopping his car, Sutcliffe struck her on the head with a hammer, but she managed to escape despite severe injuries. Claxton, who was pregnant at the time, did lose her baby due to the trauma. That should be another murder then. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Despite giving police a good description of Sutcliffe and his car, This case did not lead to his capture. This was the first major missed opportunity to apprehend him.
Right.
Irene Richardson, a 28-year-old sex worker, was killed in Leeds, Round Hay Park. Sutcliffe struck her with a hammer, mutilated her body with a knife, and he focused his attacks on her abdomen and chest. Her body was discovered in a well-known public park, escalating fears that the serial killer was now on the loose.
Yeah.
This murder was one of the first to suggest to police that a pattern of killings was emerging.
Well, I was just going
to
say, now there's a pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, because first one, it's like, second one, it's a bit different, remember? Although he was strangling, stabbing, and he escalated, so it doesn't match. Whereas this one is like...
Do you know what? Like, obviously, I've seen, like, loads of documentaries on this and stuff. Like, in that area, you know, these sex workers, they knew this was happening, but they're obviously still going out and trying to,
make
like,
a living.
Money and bring money home, like they had kids or whatever, and like think how terrifying that must have been.
Like it could anyone's next.
No,
you don't know.
That's what I mean. But they're taking that chance by like walking the streets, like it's terrifying. That
I mean, I do go into it a bit more about like the failings of the police and stuff, but I need to find it. But there was that. It was like a 5-part series. I want to say Netflix, but I don't think it was. I think it was like BBC.
I feel like it was.
And it was, but only recently, within like the last year, 18 months, really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
Just kind of, I've got the details here, but he just kind of puts it in real life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Patricia Atkinson was a 32-year-old sex worker from Bradford and was killed in her own flat after Sutcliffe followed her home. So
again is different.
Yeah. And that was a big part. Like, they at first didn't count this one as...
Yeah. Do you think he's half done that because, like, the pattern was...
Possibly. You will have seen the press...
But I think a lot of the times when they see the press, they get like excited. Dead cocky and they love it, don't they? And they love all that attention, but...
He hit her with a hammer and stabbed her multiple times. Unlike his previous murders, Sutcliffe left a crucial piece of evidence at the scene, a bloody footprint from his boot. So this footprint was more clear and more defined than the one on the woman's chest. Because at first I was like, well, he's left two, but this was like clear size... One. Make not model, but you know what I mean.
Think of that, like he didn't really think that through, did he?
But I think it's so frenzied, like.
Yeah, and I think, like I said before, I think they just get cocky, don't they?
100%.
Narcissists get cocky, think they can get away with it, and they get braver then.
Yeah, 100%. It was not enough to identify him at this stage, but obviously this is kind of like the police's first piece of evidence that they can. Start looking and go, right, we've got a description from the girl who got away.
Yeah.
We've got a boot print, so it's building a bit of a picture.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is really sad. The murder of 16-year-old Jane McDonald, a shop assistant from Leeds.
Marked
a significant turning point in the public's reaction to the killings. Unlike Sutcliffe's previous victims, McDonald was not a sex worker, as the other one. She was attacked as she went home after a night out. Sutcliffe struck her with a hammer and stabbed her repeatedly. Her murder horrified the public as she was seen as an innocent victim. And this intensified the police investigation, and the media began to pay closer attention to the pressure on the police.
What do you mean as an innocent victim? Because they were all innocent victims.
But in this, again, this is what a big part of this case is, the failings of the police is. There's so many missed opportunities and misreporting, because the first killings were sex workers. Right. So they were kind of like, oh,
oh,
it's a victimless crime. Yeah, yeah. They kind of not what asking for hell? It. Like, I'm saying all this in quotes. I don't believe any of this myself. Yeah. But like, they're going. Well,
should
they're going.
Pour us another wine.
They're going out. Oh, sugar. nearly.
We've already had the class.
They're going out looking for sex with men. Right? So they're thinking like they're half to blame. It's not true. Like, but whereas because this girl was working in a shop and was 16. Yeah. And it's really sad.
You, baby.
She was seen as the first innocent victim. Helen Reitker was an 18-year-old sex worker from Huddersfield and was killed after Sutcliffe lured her into his car.
Lured.
He drove her to a secluded spot and struck her with a hammer before stabbing her repeatedly. Reitker's body was found shortly after her murder, and the investigation into the Yorkshire Ripper intensified. As you can imagine, public fear continued to grow.
Yeah, God, they must have
can
been
you
terrified.
Imagine this day and age.
Even just like being out, like running the shop.
Yeah.
In but the night, you
never,
wouldn't, would you?
You never really had to deal with that.
We've got Deliveroo now as well. We've
got Deliveroo now.
You wouldn't be going anywhere on your own, would you?
That just killed me. No, yeah, true. But I'm saying, like...
I mean, I absolutely hammer delivery.
No, she needs shares.
I literally do, but...
It's so bad.
Can I just ask a question?
Of course.
Where is the... I know the bird obviously isn't well enough, but where is she? Is she
the
just
mum?
In the
I mean, the wife.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a job, so he's just going out and going, I'm going to the pub. He'll do this within an hour. He's not out for weeks on end. He's going out saying, right, I've seen her, pulling over, getting in the car, having away with her, and then leaving
it's
her. So even if it was a few hours, he's just... She is schizophrenic, not that that matters, but, like, we don't know what she was dealing with at home.
No. She
depression,
has
like, we don't know. And then if he's like, well, I'm going out to work, I'm going for a pint with the lads, she's not going to question it. Like, think about it. Like, I know some people will question a lot, but she's also in a right not to question him going out.
Now, you know, they have got a bit of evidence here, haven't they, with, like, the footprints, the car track, the fibre.
And the two descriptions, like two detailed descriptions of him. But you think about that, doesn't, again, if I said a girl, blonde hair, 5'4",
well,
whatever you are.
We'd be fucked already.
Exactly.
A girl, blonde hair.
Vera Millward was a 40-year-old sex worker. She was murdered in Manchester, near the Manchester Royal Infirmary. Sutcliffe attacked her with a hammer and knife, leaving her body in the hospital grounds. Millward's murder indicates that Sutcliffe was willing to travel further afield, increasing the difficulty for police to track him. So this, again, I do mention this further down the line, is mixing of jurisdictions, so like Manchester and Leeds and Yorkshire
he's
police.
He's doing that, isn't he? To like,
on purpose, possibly. Josephine Whittaker was 19-year-old. She was a building society clerk, was attacked whilst walking home in Halifax. She was struck with a hammer and then repeatedly stabbed. Like Jane McDonald, Whittaker was not a sex worker, which widened the public fear, was not only targeting sex workers but innocent people.
That's it. Like you said, it's dead sly, obviously, but the public and all that, they weren't getting as thingy because it was targeted at the sex workers.
They'd be like, "Oh, shame."
Now the scares, because it's the pattern is kind 100%. Of breaking
because
here and there.
Although their thinking is so wrong, I'm not ashamed to admit this, but I think, well, I'm not a sex worker, so I'm okay.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I would go, well, I'm not going out finding Johns to...
Yeah, Johns.
And I'm not saying that that's what they deserve, that absolutely not, but I would think that. So then when they go, oh, she worked in Asda, you'd be like, what? So I don't agree with them. But I
don't know, at the same time, like I've just said, if there was a serial killer on the loose round by yours, you'd be absolutely terrified to leave
anyway,
the house, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Josephine, I've just covered this, sorry. Sorry, it was not a sex worker. Oh, yeah. Whittaker's murder also demonstrated Sutcliffe's ability to blend in, as he appeared to be a normal passerby before attacking her.
Yeah.
Barbara Leach, a 20-year-old student from Bradford, was murdered in a manner similar to Sutcliffe's other victims. Leach was walking home from work on a night out. Sorry, was walking home from a night out where she was attacked with a hammer and stabbed. Her murder.
The hammer thing.
I know.
It's just,
can you imagine?
Like, I just stuck the hammer up.
Like, I can't. He murdered her like those of MacDonald and Whittaker, caused widespread panic as she was another innocent victim and not connected to sex work in any way. Marguerite Walls, a 47-year-old civil servant, was attacked and strangled by Sutcliffe in Leeds. Unlike his previous victim, Sutcliffe did not use a hammer in this attack. Walls was walking home from work when Sutcliffe assaulted her. Her murder marked a shift in his method as he began to kill more indiscriminately. So I think this is where... I think the other ones he assumed were sex workers.
Yeah, I do. Like, coming home from night out.
And I think this one, he's just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah. That was still his motive. But I think he's just that crazy.
Because being honest, like, obviously, I've watched loads of stuff, documentaries and that about this. It's, like, such a well-known case. Mm-hmm. But from my knowledge of it, I thought they were all sex workers, to be honest. Like,
well, the way the media was, he was killing prostitutes in Leeds or Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But, like... Clearly, it's not the case, and that also doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what the occupation was, but... Teresa Sykes, a 16-year-old from Huddersfield, was attacked by...
16 again.
I know. Was attacked by Peter Sutcliffe as she was walking home. I keep saying full title, you know who I'm talking about, but some have typed Sutcliffe, some have typed...
P.
P. Oh, P. R-P. As she was walking home late from a night out... Oh, no, sorry, was just walking home late.
That wouldn't be welcome anyway.
Sutcliffe struck her on the head with a hammer, so he's back to the hammer, leaving her with severe injuries. But despite the vicious attack, Sykes managed to survive, although she was left traumatised and scarred for life.
Yeah.
Don't blame her.
No.
Her case was yet another missed opportunity for the police as they failed to connect her attack to the York.
How?
Well, it's Huddersfield, so we've had, like, Halifax, Huddersfield, Manchester. Failed to connect the attack to the Yorkshire Ripper murders immediately, even though a description of the attacker matched the previous report. But this is where the different jurisdictions matter, because they will have typed in man, beard, moustache, 6 foot, let's just say, and it won't have flagged anything, but it would flag on Huddersfield's one, or it'd flag on Halifax's one.
Don't talk to them?
They do now. But that's why Bundy, all these cases that we cover, they get away with it for years, because they'll just go to different states and different counties and different... Do you know what I mean? So
I know, but states and then ours is like down the road.
But it's the exact same.
And motherfucker's got a car, of course he's going to drive.
I know. Sorry. Where am I up to? Okay. Jacqueline Hill was a 20-year-old student at Leeds University, became Sutcliffe's final known victim.
Oh.
Hill was walking home after a seminar when she was attacked. Sutcliffe struck her with a hammer, dragged her to a nearby wasteland and stabbed her multiple times. Hill's murder sent shockwaves through the local community as she was a promising young student, again, with no connection to sex work, like that matters. And her killing highlighted once again that Sutcliffe was targeting women indiscriminately. Her murder galvanised public outrage, putting intense pressure on the police to find the Ripper.
Yeah.
The Hunt. The investigation to find the Yorkshire Ripper was one of the largest in British history and remains infamous for its numerous failings and missteps, which we've kind of covered so far.
Yeah.
From the beginning, West Yorkshire police were overwhelmed by the case. Sutcliffe's attacks were spread across multiple jurisdictions, leading to a fragmented investigation. Additionally, because some of his early victims were sex workers, there was initial tendency by the police to downplay the urgency of these murders. This contributes to slower and less coordinated response to the growing number of killings. One of the most significant police blunders was their reliance on a hoax known as Waterside Jack. These were letters and tapes. Oh. So in 19th, there's always these. Absolute wasteman.
Oh, I love that word, wasteman. I just don't understand who
you've got
in
nothing
the right
better
mind
to do.
Would go.
I know.
Like, right, you know what I'm going to do? Just
like life,
interfere.
Like, life's hard. Why would you make your life harder by going, I'm going to pretend to be a serial killer?
I don't know. It's fucking odd, isn't it?
Bad.
There's always these.
I know.
Wasting time.
Well, this really did happen. In 1978, the police received a series of letters and audio recordings reportedly from the killer. The letters and tapes contained a distinctive Wearside accent. Now, I don't know what that is, but it's a Yorkshire accent. But it's like, the way, like, if it was a Scouser, they go, that's a Scouser. Or even, like, over the water, it's, you know that they're not, like, it's a distinctive accent.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which led the police to focus their efforts on suspects from the Sunderland area, which he wasn't from. So this diversion wasted a great deal of time and resources. Sutcliffe, who was a Bradford native, pardon me, with a Yorkshire accent, remained outside the police's area of focus because of this misdirection.
Duh.
The investigation also hindered by the sheer volume of information and leads. The police collected more than 250,000 statements and interviewed over 5,000 men.
What?
But they struggled to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Sutcliffe himself was interviewed 9 times.
No.
By the police over the course of the investigation.
But he must have been like a sick liar then.
Well, every time he managed to avoid suspicion by...
You would just crumble.
Yeah, providing plausible alibis and explanations. But the thing is, if he was like, yeah, I was in the pub with me, so I was with my wife. They haven't got the resources to then go...
At the time.
Let's go and check with the wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or let's go and... What pub? What time? I mean, CCTV is not really a thing, but like, they haven't got the money.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that it's okay, but 9 times though. In one instance, the police missed an opportunity when the £5 note found in Jean Jordan's handbag could have led to Sutcliffe's arrest sooner. Though it was traced back to him, the evidence wasn't followed up properly at the time.
Mm.
So they had him about 6 murders ago.
No way.
Peter Sutcliffe was finally apprehended by chance on January the 2nd, 1981. He was stopped by two police officers in Sheffield while sitting in a car with a sex worker. A routine check revealed that the car had false number plates, and Sutcliffe was arrested and taken to the police station.
Mm.
During his...
Just because of the false number plates?
Well, yeah, that isn't yeah. Legal. And he obviously, they will have been like sex worker. Ooh, description.
Mm.
So they will have had an inkling. During his detention, the officers noticed he matched many of the descriptions given by survivors of the Ripper attacks, and his appearance raised suspicions.
Well, yeah, mate.
Sutcliffe was interrogated, and after 2 days of questioning, he confessed to being the Yorkshire Ripper. He admitted to the murders calmly, detailing the attacks and providing chilling insight into his motivations. He claimed that He claimed that he believed he was on a mission from God.
Oh, not this one. Not that old chestnut.
I know. To rid the world of sex workers. But
what?
I know.
Who do you think you are, mate?
I know. But some experts viewed this as an attempt to like paint his killings as like a religious justification.
Of course, yeah. Which a lot of them do that. It's an excuse.
Yeah. The trial. Peter Sutcliffe trial began in May 1981. He pleaded not guilty to murder on the grounds of diminished responsibility, citing his belief that he was commanded by God to kill. His defence team argued that he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. Do you say schizophrenia or schizophrenia?
I say schizophrenia. So schizophrenia.
But like you say schizophrenia.
Yeah, I'd say schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia. However, the prosecution rejected this argument. And after a two-week trial, the jury found him guilty of all 13 murders. And
well, yeah, because he's admitted it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just tried to put the blame on Jesus or whatever.
And 7 attempted murders. He was sentenced to 20 concurrent life sentences.
Good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't have the death penalty, unfortunately.
I was just going to say, no death penalty.
No.
Boo. What is this?
I know. The trial judge, Mr. Justice Borum, recommended that Sutcliffe never be released. Duh. Stating that his crimes were of such heinous nature that he should remain in prison for life. Sutcliffe was initially held in a high security prison, but was later transferred to Broadmoor.
Oh.
A high security. A high security psychiatric facility. In 1984, after being diagnosed with schizophrenia, or whatever.
This piece of hair is really just flopping in front of my glasses and over me.
He remained there for decades, though there were doubts about the validity of his psychiatric diagnosis. So, do you think he got off a bit easier going to a psychiatric
Course, yeah.
I don't know, Broadmoor back in the day was hell, though.
Yeah, but it will have been, will it not have been easier for him than...
Possibly. The Sutcliffe case, so this is like legacy and like the failings of the investigation kind of rounded up. The Sutcliffe The Sutcliffe case left a lasting impact on British society, particularly on the attitude toward policing, how violence against women was being handled.
Mm-hmm.
The failings of the West Yorkshire Police in catching Sutcliffe sooner was subject to widespread criticism. An official inquiry led by Sir Lawrence Byford, known as the Byford Report, detailed the missed opportunities and systemic issues within the investigation. It highlighted how police prejudice against the victims, especially sex workers, led to the delayed action and poor communication across different police forces.
Well, surely this, you know, that was down to them, wasn't it?
It is the only reason.
Being prejudiced. Yeah. And, you know, after this, surely they kind of all like honed in on, okay, we need to open our eyes. You're like, how can we just let this happen?
It's a shame, but I feel like the police... UK, US, everywhere, will learn something from every big case.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it took that
to
happen.
Well, it's a shame because then people would have survived it.
I know.
Like, there wouldn't have been as many victims because they just were, like, snoozing on it.
I know. Sutcliffe's case also sparked broader discussions about violence against women and the ways in which societal attitudes may contribute to victim blaming.
Yeah.
The murders led to an increased security measures in the affected areas and women were afraid to walk the streets at night. Protests, including one called Reclaim the Night, and which was a march, where people, women and people demanded the right to walk safely without the fear of attack.
Yeah.
As they should.
I know, but I feel like that's still, there's still that, isn't it, going on?
No, every year there's something terrible that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So to round up... Peter Sutcliffe spent the rest of his life in custody, moving between prison and psychiatric institutions.
Yeah.
In November 2020, Sutcliffe died at the age of 74 after contracting COVID.
Shut up. He died of COVID?
Well, he was being treated for other health issues. He had been in poor health for a long time.
Do we know anything about him, like, while he was in there? Like,
model.
Anything he said about, like, his past or...
Didn't speak, and he was just a model prisoner.
He was just, like... Good boy. Mm.
And that is why...
We don't talk to strangers!
So, yeah.
What?
I know, fuck.
So we don't really know, like, he never showed remorse.
He spoke to psychiatrists, and that's how we know.
Yeah.
The obviously about God telling them to rid the world.
Oh, no, that's just a load of bullshit.
No, I know,
like, that's
I know.
Just, obviously, as we all know, that's an excuse.
Yeah.
He thought he could get away with it, mm-hmm. and he thought and using the sex workers and then obviously the busies, you know, the failings of them
mm-hmm.
was shit because otherwise we wouldn't have had all these victims. And imagine their families, imagine hearing like the evidence they'd had and then,
I know,
you know, it's
and the police
mind like, blowing.
The reporting of it, like, I remember seeing like the articles, like, it's worth looking up the different articles, how it changes because it was just like, another prostitute killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Then all of a sudden when the innocent victims are getting killed, it was like, like terror in the town, you know, like manhunt for murderer. When the terminal, like the language used was kind of like sex worker dies again.
Like,
on the hunt for a John. Do you know what I mean?
Like
I know, really, really bad. But that is, guys, why we don't talk to strangers.
Why we don't talk to strangers.
And that is the case of Peter Sutcliffe.
Wow, well that
the
was...
Yorkshire Ripper.
You know what? That was a really good first episode to bring us back, I think, you know.
UK, we've got to keep it local.
We've got to keep it local and, you know, it's well known. You know, you can go and there's really good documentaries on it, like where they like reenact it all and all of that kind of thing. But
yeah,
it was a really good one.
Thanks.
And yes, guys, also, just to like round it up, I'm just going to talk about something dead quick.
Go on.
Actually, so me and Kate last week went to We went to the, what was it? The World Serial Tour. Killer Exhibition Tour in London. And it was actually quite cool. Like, it covered so many different cases, like American and UK.
Let's admit though, Hannah, right? It was not our worst nightmare in the sense, like...
We had a ball. Like, it was very interesting.
But you had to read. I know that sounds bad.
You had to read, like...
It was on the wall, so you stood there going... Whereas we thought it'd be a bit more...
Of, like, a tour interaction, kind of thing.
So we were in a giggly mood, which we shouldn't
have been. Like, I was hungover, so I had the giggle. You don't want to be in there giggly.
Yeah. So it was unbelievable. Like,
it was really interesting, wasn't it?
Real artifacts from...
But this is... We were, like, really debating. Like, it says they were real on some of them, but, like, Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses, I just... Was like,
no, they weren't there. Because she's got them on
I've got them on now. I was like, they're there. Like, literally, apparently, they were his real Jeff Giggs ball.
But then when we Googled it, there's a few knocking about. One's in Alcatraz prison on display. One's on this tour. But he will have had more than one, maybe.
Of course, he had a few. But someone bought them for 150 grand. But they were right there. I was like, I can't believe it.
No, you know what was funny? At first, at the beginning of the exhibition, some of them were like, this is a replica or this is a copy of.
So we were like, what?
So we were like, oh, this, okay, it's still interesting because it was like, looked real. Then there was Ed Gein, which we will cover.
Oh, we can't wait for Ed Gein next year.
There was a real piece of evidence from his...
Oh, yeah, it was a real thing. It was the first real thing.
It was the first real thing. So we were like, oh my God, what is it?
I was like videoing it.
It was a piece of tin. A tin can.
From like a can of beans.
And it was like flat. And Hannah was like on a story, Ed Gein. And I was like, it's a tin of beans.
But then as we got on, we found Jeffrey Dahmer's real gigs. Yeah. I just don't know.
There was loads there. Like Eileen Wuornos's knickers.
Eileen Wuornos's knickers. And I can say I've seen Jeffrey Dahmer's real glasses. Yeah. That's amazing.
I know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'm also talking of, I was going to say, we've covered, so when we first did this podcast years ago, we've kept all those episodes live. They're not visual, they're just on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. But we will probably remake them in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Not straight away, because obviously...
Maybe in more detail or whatever, because there's such sick cases.
Better audio, because like when you listen back, we sound like...
It sounds like we're like in underwater. Like that.
And it's not good at all. So, but I mean, you feel free to listen to them, but just so you're aware, they will be getting recovered because we covered some really, really good cases. So, one being Jeffrey.
Of course.
So we will definitely do them again. But if you are interested in this podcast, make sure you like, subscribe. You can follow us on our Instagram, which I've kind of forgot it. I think it's Don't Talk to Strangers podcast, but let me just check.
And honestly, this is like a massive like passion for us. You know, we love talking about it. We love like doing this pod, don't we?
So it's called Don't Talk to Strangers podcast. We have got a Twitter. In fact, we haven't got a Twitter anymore. And no one uses that, I don't think. So we've got an Instagram and we have got an email, which is don'ttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com, because we will eventually want to do listener tales
and
hear about your spooky stories, hearing about any connections you've got with true crime and things like that. So,
we want to know all of it.
But make sure you rate us, whatever you do.
Give us a good rating, babes, 100%, and we will be back But happy fucking Halloween, everyone.
Anna, take
it. Have the sickest, scariest night. And yet, that is why you
don't talk
to strangers. No.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.